It says there, Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. And it is at this time of year that we remember that Resurrection Sunday is soon to come. And we understand some of the things more clearly this time of year regarding the death of Christ. And specifically, the one thing that I've been studying is there are seven sayings that came from Christ as he spoke while he hung there in agony. And this is a Sunday school, right? This is a test. What did he say? What are the seven sayings?
I thirst
is one of them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anything? It is finished. We got that one already. Okay. How about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I knew if I started, you would be able to finish. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Son, behold thy mother, and woman, behold thy son, in the Gospel of John. And into thy hands I commend my spirit. And each one of those sayings is, you could teach a month on each one of those and not completely get through everything. The topic here, Father, forgive them, I took this saying, what Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And not to just be technical and study word for word exactly what he said and what that meant. But let's get into the heart of Christ for a second and feel the pain that he had on in his head, and they pulled his beard out and they beat him and they humiliated him, spit on him and all that other, and the pain and agony, he was bruised beyond recognition, and he's still quoting Scripture. And can we quote Scripture in a good day? And not only that, he's doing this to intercede for someone that's doing that to him. I'd be calling the 911 and say, get these guys off my back. But he said, Father, forgive them. It was intercession. When someone is standing on for you, standing up for you before the judge, and you're over here, and Christ is here, and he's saying, Father, forgive them. One of the questions that I had is, why did he call on the Father to forgive them? And we'll see some verses. And who are them? Is that good English? Who are them? Who are the them and Father, forgive them? And then the other part of the question is, for they know not what they do. What was it that they didn't know what they were doing? And so we'll kind of look at some of those. And some of the questions I'm not going to answer completely. And this is something that you might want to do as far as going a little further in depth in Bible study. And once you get into studying this out, you're going to say, I don't really know a whole lot about this. When you get more verses and more, did I miss a verse? Is there another verse that contradicts what I just said? And there's so much involved in this. The idea is, the end result is for someone to be, we edify one another in love, Ephesians says. And that's what we're supposed to do. And if something's missing in the edification line or the truth of the Scriptures here, come up and tell me, all right? If you have something other than what I'm going to teach, please let me know and we'll learn together. And you want to turn to Genesis chapter 44. Genesis 44. Christ was praying to the Father, expecting a yes answer. Father, forgive them. He wasn't expecting the Father to say no. Christ was crying out in love. And that's one of the things that, here's my markers, that we can't miss when we study something about Christ. And the cross was love. How about a verse that says in Romans 5, Brother Jim, 5:8? Go ahead. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his love. And in Luke, it's Christ says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." And so Christ on the cross was saying, he was praying for them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ was practicing what he preached. He didn't just say idle words for the people. "You guys, I'm so good, and I'm God, and you guys got to do this." No, he was a Jew born under the law, and he had to keep every point of what he said, right? Otherwise, he would have been a sinner. You're in Genesis 44. Let me get there. And this is the story of Joseph. And if you don't know who Joseph is, the son of Jacob, is a very, very interesting story. It is a very type of Jesus Christ as he goes through his life. And Genesis 44, look at verse... let's go to verse 9. It says, "With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we will also, and we also will be my Lord's bondsmen. And down to verse 32, the kind of the end of the story there. It says, "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever." Bearing the blame to the father, Christ, Christ bore the what? The blame to the father for how long? Forever. And so there's a similarity here, and it was a long story. The brothers of Joseph, they sold him into slavery. They really didn't like him because of his dream, and you can read the story. But they, after a while, Joseph became very powerful in Egypt, and they came up to him to buy corn, and they had the sacks. And again, you have to read the story, and it's a great story. Over lunch, you can read exactly that, Genesis 44 and before that. And they had a cup in Benjamin's sack. Benjamin was the youngest one. And Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah came and he says, "I'll bear his blame." Benjamin was the one, the youngest of his father. And he says, if he doesn't return back to home after buying this corn, he says, my father will die. Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which his name is now Israel. And these are the children of Israel. And so he says, I'll bear the blame. I'll take his place. I'll be his substitute. I'm interceding for that boy, because the youngest would have been killed as far as how the story goes. So that is one way of interceding. And there's a lot of other places in Scripture. You just have to read and find them for yourself. Little gold nuggets you can pull out, and then you can stand up and say, yeah, look at what I found. It is such a joy when you have one verse fit another verse, or a topic fits another topic, and it joins together, and you know it's right. Turn with me to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 6. When it said, that was a little bit about interceding with Joseph there, but where it says, Father, forgive, and you can take that statement as a study in its own, but Matthew chapter 6, when Christ was teaching his disciples how to pray, And it says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so on goes the story. But verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And keep in mind the topic at the top of the board there, what says, "Father, forgive them." When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he bare the sins of the world, didn't he? Let me use something else here, different. I use black. He had, oh good, I got the wrong marker. I'll use red. He bore the sin of the world. And we'll see some of the verses there back in Isaiah. But he said, "Father, forgive them. Your Father will all, if you forgive men their trespasses, so will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses." Their trespasses were placed on whom? I'm pointing to, if you can't read it there, the Jewish rulers, the people who cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," the soldiers that nailed him to the cross. His Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he, in Matthew chapter 6, says, if you forgive men their trespasses, Christ is forgiving these men their trespasses, right? And so, in turn, the Father should forgive what? Because all their sins were placed on Christ. And so now he is forgiven of the Father. Christ paid for the sins, but the sins of the world had to be placed on him. He died and became that perfect sacrifice for sin. Let's get on further. And there's others. If you can go to Matthew chapter 18 and look at that too. But turn to Matthew chapter 9. When you understand where he says, "Father, forgive them," well, why didn't Christ just forgive them there and be done with it? Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Can Jesus Christ forgive sin? Why, sure, you betcha. And verse 9, they didn't believe, the people there didn't believe that Christ could forgive sin, but he says in verse 5, "For whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to arise and walk?" He's proving that if he says arise and walk and this guy starts walking, then he says it's harder for you to make a man walk that's been paralyzed than to say, anyone can say your sins be forgiven you. But anyhow, what happens here is verse 6, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house." So the scriptures prove out that Christ can forgive sin. But my question in my mind arose about why would he call on the Father to forgive sin? When Christ had, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Carl. In Matthew chapter 1, it said, "She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Yet he cried out on the cross, "Father, forgive them." John chapter 14, 6. Anyone know that verse? "For I am no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so he's already proving out that he has to be the one, the mediator, the intercessor between the Father and the sinner and mankind, the Father and mankind. So we have the Father there. And let's do mankind. So he is the go-between. And he is praying to the Father. to forgive them. Back to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah 53, just before Jeremiah. Psalms. There's Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And we'll look at we'll start in verse 6. And the idea of the study, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we're basically looking at forgiveness at the cross, what they knew at that time under the law, under the kingdom program, under that, the umbrella of that idea. And grace is not, that's still yet future, right? Okay, let's prove that out too. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah talking. Isaiah's nationality was? Thank you very much. And so the iniquity of all the Jews was placed on Jesus Christ at that time. And verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. That means he died. For the transgressions of my people. Who would that be? That would be Israel. And so when he cried out, my mind is going to, Father, forgive them. Here's who's the them. Is Israel. Is that all? No. At this time, Paul's not around yet, and the dispensation of grace hasn't started. So when Isaiah's talking, he's still talking under the law, under the kingdom program, under the law. In verse 11, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul. Who's going to see the travail of Christ's soul? The Father. And he shall be satisfied, propitiated. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So here is a prophecy so many years before Christ went to the cross that he was going to be the intercessor and he was going to bear their sin. But he was numbered with the transgressors. So to be numbered with a group of people, he had to be a man. If we look in the idea of, in the book of Ruth, there is the kinsman redeemer study. And the redeemer had to be someone who bought back someone, or bought back the land in Ruth's day. The redeemer here, in Christ's sense, he paid for our sins. He bought us out of the slave market. He paid for us. And to be a redeemer, he had to be our next of kin. In other words, he had to be related. To be related to us, he had to be man. And that's where I'm going. He was fully man and fully God, right? When he was born of that virgin. Behold, how does it say back in the... Behold, unto you is born a Christ the Lord. Okay, thank you. And so it's not Christmas time. I lose the verses. But... he was numbered with the transgressors. So with the transgressors, Hebrews 7 says this, who needeth not daily, speaking of Christ, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. He was not only the Redeemer, he was the priest that offered up the sacrifice one time, and He offered up his own blood. I don't have all the instances up here. By the way, this column here, you can go on forever writing up all the things that Christ accomplished on the cross. Everything he did at the cross. And then there's us. So there's boards not big enough, but all these things, and I started to think, you can't finish that column. All the things that Jesus Christ did, all the things that God has in his word, you open up the scriptures here, and Christ is here. And you open it up over here, and Christ is here. He is this living word. And as we go into the scriptures, Luke 24:44, all these things written of me, I'm not going to quote it properly, but all these things written of me, concerning me in the law, the Psalms, and in the prophets. That kind of covers the Old Testament. And so he says, all those things back there are concerning me. And there's other verses, too, that they'll follow that through. But we're looking at, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Matthew 27:46 says this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He asked a question on the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, it was dark from the sixth hour to the ninth hour? And there was a time there that God the Father forsook his Son. Why didn't he cry out, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out as a man, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was approaching the Father as being numbered with the transgressors, as one of mankind, a sinner. All the sins of the world were placed on who? Let's read the verse. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So there was a barrier between God and mankind. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. With the sins, he's got the sins of the world on his shoulders, right? My sins were there. Your sins were there. Were you at the cross? Were you at the cross? Yes, you were. As a believer, your sins were placed on him. Romans chapter 6 says you're buried with him, you're dead with him, you're buried with him, and you're risen with him if you believe Christ died for our sins. And getting to the end of things here, but just listen to that right now before we go any further. You now can be saved if you've never trusted that Christ died for your sins. If you do, then you are seen at the cross. Habakkuk 1:13, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue, when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Thou art are purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look. God the Father cannot look on evil or sin. And that's why he took and turned his face away. If someone was coming after you, Dennis, and I was standing by, and someone was going to rob your tray there, your cart, and I just went, I'll turn away. Have a good day. That's what God the Father did to Christ. Someone was after him. Sin is death. And he bore that for us. He bore it for these people here. Let's move on a little bit. Christ became as a man to bear their iniquities. Further revelation, turn to Philippians, please. We're going to jump into the future a little bit to understand something that happened here at the cross. And it's the Apostle Paul. I want to understand what Christ went through, what he had to do for us, that we might have eternal life. and kind of without jumping into his shoes, so to speak, but to be there and understand what he went through and how he could say, "Father, forgive them." Greater love has no man than what Christ did. I just messed up the verse, but you understand that. No man on earth could do the things that he did and suffer the pain that he did and have such great love as he did. And then forgive everyone. Wow, that's a bonus, huh? Philippians 2:6, speaking of Christ, who being in the form of God, now in the form of God, so he's a spirit up in glory, right? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Christ is God. But made himself of no reputation. God is reputable. Man is not reputable. And took upon him the form of a servant. A servant serves and is humble. And was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we see verses that bring Christ on the cross and the things that he did to be our intercessor, you see the word man. And he did that. He took and he made him, he changed and he made himself of no reputation and humbled himself. And so he empties himself of his equality with God. On the cross, when there was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was something where God, he says, why did you forsake me? And it was because of the sins that he had, and he had to stand up as one of them, as a man, as a perfect, spotless man. No man on earth could ever be, it says he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so he was a man tempted in his flesh. He had flesh and he was fully God and fully man, yes. But as he stood on that cross, he went there as first as God, because he had to be the Redeemer, right? And his blood had to be perfect. And his blood was all spelled out. Prophecy bears that out. But then there's a time there where he had to stand there knowing this. He had to stand there as a man, and as his soul went into hell, what did he have to have? You read the book of Psalms and tell me that's not Christ in the pit of hell. You read the book of Psalms. And it's hard to separate David's life from Christ's life after his death on the cross in the pit of hell. Another story altogether. In 1 Timothy it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." He's the mediator and he's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. You better say no, preacher. Oh, all right. We got an all over here. Amen. He gave himself a ransom for all. That's further revelation. And we weren't going to study all that here, but over here it was many. And I need new markers. And over here it's all under grace. When? What time does the Sunday school start? The second half of that, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There is a provision in the law to accommodate those who sinned and didn't know they sinned. I mean, you might rewind yesterday and see, oh, maybe I did. Well, what did I do? Yeah, okay. When they realize that they sinned, or if they don't realize it, there's a provision in the law to offer a sacrifice for a sin of ignorance, it's called. And the sin of ignorance is good for, and I'll just give you the it's in Leviticus 4, and you can read that for yourself. But it's for a priest that has sinned, for the whole congregation that has sinned, for a ruler that has sinned, and for any one of the common people. And I'm not really sure who the common people are, so you can help me out understanding that one. But if any one of those forms of people, the rulers, the General Assembly, Jewish, that's a Jewish provision here, if they sin through ignorance, they bring a sacrifice and the sin can be forgiven them. That's all in Leviticus 4. And if someone kills a man without intention or, as one place in Deuteronomy where the axe handle, if an axe handle falls off and you kill someone and you go to a place called the City of Refuge, because you weren't going to kill the guy, it just happened, an accident. You go to a City of Refuge and you stay there until the death of the high priest of that day, then you can go back home. Oh, the death of the high priest, then you can go home. too many similarities in all that, but there's a provision for the sin of ignorance. The thief heard Christ say, "Father, forgive them." Remember, there was two thieves. One says, "Why don't you just help us out here?" And then the other one rebuked him and says, "Don't you fear God?" And he said, and he said, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So he saw or believed that Christ was going to live after death, right? And he believed that he would live after death. "Father, forgive them." I'd sure like some of that. So he was a believer at that time. And he says, when you come into your kingdom, so who was he calling him? The king, the Son of God. And the centurion, the Roman soldier, there says, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'This truly, this was the Son of God.'" And that was the gospel back there. If you believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God, you had it. You had it made. You were going into the kingdom. Matthew 10 says this. Christ says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Father, forgive them. My Father is in heaven. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father is in heaven." If Jesus Christ died for all sin for these people, for the sins of my people, all the transgressions of my people were laid on Christ. He's the intercessor for the nation Israel. Were all Israel saved because he died for all their sins? No. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so those people didn't want to hear. They crucified some. The high priest crucified him out of envy. They knew who he was, but they didn't like the rapport that he had with the other people. They all followed Christ because they heard his words, and they were envious of that. "Crucify him! Crucify him! I'll keep my job. Crucify him!" Whoop. And Acts 2:36. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified," all Israel, "ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." In the verse, it'll say, "He made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ." Anyone further on, if we would have finished up some verses in Philippians, it says, "And he was given a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess," and so on. But it's good to be on his side now rather than be in his wrath later. He died for all sins. Let me finish with a verse. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also help us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Remember, the Father forgive them for the people back here. Under grace, as Father, they are forgiven. Isn't that right? And he sits there, and if, you know, there's an accuser out there, and I know I'm done, but there's an accuser out there called Satan, and he goes and accuses us to the Father. And Christ steps up and says, nope, he believed that I died for their sins. It's paid for. Let them go. He's forgiven. So we are forgiven. So did the Father answer the prayer of the Son? Father, forgive them? Yeah. He honored that prayer. There was a time that, well, I think we're done here, so let's close. Father, we're so glad to hear your words out of the Scripture that you're a loving, forgiving God. And thank you for Jesus Christ for bearing our sins at the cross to be our Redeemer, to be our mediator between the Father and our sins. Thank you for what he's done. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.